The president does not come out with both guns blazing on fixing trade relations. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. During the State of the Union speech last night, President Trump took a hard line on immigration issues, but not as much on another key economic issue, the state of trade relations. Here's one moment.
The era of economic surrender is totally over. From now on, we expect trading relationships to be fair and, very importantly, reciprocal.
For some context on the State of the Union when it comes to our economic relationships with the rest of the world, I'm joined by Ian Bremmer, founder of Eurasia Group, a global political risk consultancy. Ian, thanks for connecting here.
Hey, good to be with you, David.
So on the specific subject of trade last night, what did you hear? I mean, to me, the rhetoric wasn't really rowdy on that subject.
Yes, not dire, certainly not the inauguration speech that we heard a year ago, but took a couple of significant whacks at China. And given that that's the most important trade relationship for the United States and the world, I think that matters a lot, especially on intellectual property. And that is the issue the Chinese are most concerned about in terms of the potential for this to escalate.
So it was a choice to adopt the tone. Do you think it's actually a shift somehow in policy? I mean, this restrained tone on trade? I mean, many of the world's business and political leaders met with or saw the president in Switzerland at Davos last week. Do you think they got to him?
The president doesn't tend to take in information that doesn't validate his pre-existing views, with the exception of information about the markets. He does view the markets as a real sort of objective indicator. And he's been hearing from a lot of people that if he takes the steps against NAFTA that he's been planning, that that's going to have a significant negative impact on all these records that have been broken in the Dow that he keeps touting every day. And I do think that that has softened him a bit. But as we know, teleprompter Trump is not Twitter Trump. These are written by other people. Twitter is Trump, and his ability to shift on a dime when he gets agitated about something is pretty high.
Teleprompter President Trump said that he's turned the page on unfair trade deals. He did say that. It's also been noted, though, that the trade deficit with China, the U.S. trade deficit, is up about 10% since Mr. Trump took office.
Yeah, I think if you recognize that China is the focus now for the president and has been for a few months, and that some of the most concerning trajectory is about North Korea, where Trump has said the Chinese have to help us or else, and if they don't, then I'm going to hit them on trade. The fact that the North Korean environment seems to be getting worse, you saw outside of the State of the Union, by far the most important news out of Washington yesterday was that America's expected ambassador to South Korea, Victor Cha, was taken out of that position because he's concerned about the possibility of a preemptive strike, and the White House didn't like his criticism on that. That all implies that the U.S.-China relationship economically is poised to become considerably more tense than it was over the first year.
Ian Bremmer, founder of Eurasia Group, a political risk consultancy. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Dave.
This morning, we continue to follow the budding alliance of Amazon, Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway, and the huge bank J.P. Morgan Chase. The three corporate heavyweights have been moving stock markets after they announced yesterday they're forming an independent healthcare company, an attempt to rein in healthcare costs for their almost 1 million combined employees. Marketplace's Rima Kreis has the latest here. Rima, what are some of the theories about how this might control costs for companies?
Well, the heads of these three companies haven't given us a ton to work with, to be fair. They just say they want to give their employees better healthcare at a lower cost. So really, it could be a way to rethink how they self-insure. And many people may not know that most big companies already self-insure, right? That basically means they get an outside firm to run their health insurance, but they, the employers, are the ones paying for their workers' healthcare. And now with this big alliance, they could, in theory, cut out even more middlemen, get rid of some of those layers in the healthcare system to help bring down their costs even more.
Yeah, but any sense of what other ways can these three big companies leverage what they already do to provide this better care?
Yeah, I talked about that with someone named J.B. Silvers. He's a professor of healthcare finance at Case Western Reserve University. And he gave an example. He said, say you need medicine or a very specific doctor, and you don't know how much it's going to cost.
And you've got high deductible plans for which you're on the hook for the first dollars, and you don't know how to shop for that. Well, Amazon's done that really well. You know, that's the first place a lot of people go. That technology is already there. You just have to figure out how to link it up.
Or he says, in theory, you know, Amazon could use its data to target patients with interventions, things that are, you know, very specific to what they're dealing with.
Now, this is a big partnership, big goals and big challenges, right?
Oh, yeah. And something like this has been tried before. I mean, employers in the past have banded together with sort of a similar mission in mind. And in fact, a couple of years ago, more than 40 companies, including sort of the likes of IBM, American Express, started what's known as the Health Transformation Alliance. But none of these partnerships have made a huge dent yet. That's because, I mean, healthcare is a super fragmented industry, right? It's very local. So it's harder for companies to control costs or care. And not to mention there's all this regulation around it. So it doesn't make it easy for newcomers.
My colleague Marketplace's Rima Kreis in Los Angeles, thank you. Every time we send maybe a PDF document or capture a piece of text on our camera phone, it is another blow for 112-year-old Xerox. Fujifilm of Japan today announced it's taking over Xerox in a $6.1 billion deal. For over 50 years, Fuji has been Xerox's big Asia partner. The restructuring to come is aimed at cutting $1.7 billion a year within 4 years. 10,000 people will be laid off. What will be called New Fuji Xerox will be run by Jeff Jacobson, who's been running Xerox. The company made its name making and servicing photocopiers that were often the size of a sofa. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.